Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We're thrilled to be able to have in the studio with me today Brother Tom Phelps, and just having the opportunity to, again, interview someone in our church to be able to find out what is God doing in your life. And the key, I think, is what is God doing in your life? Because so many times, as we look at the various situations that we encounter, we got plenty of testimonies about what we are trying to do in our own lives. But the question is, what is God doing? And how pliable, I guess you could say, are we in that situation? So, Brother Tom, share with us what God is doing in your life.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg. It's nice to be here. I always enjoy talking with you. You know, we've spent some time discussing what the Lord's doing in my life.
Right.
I've been open and honest with so many different ways, and I appreciate you encouraging me. So there's a lot of different ways that the Lord is working in my life. One story that comes to mind is starting in 2008, I had a difficult time. It was kind of rough because things had changed at work, and I ended up having a new boss. And this new boss and I didn't see eye to eye, and we didn't get along. And it was kind of frustrating because I just thought I was a pretty good communicator. I thought I could email and text and talk and had many meetings. And he seemed to be riding me. And I didn't think it was very comfortable. I didn't think it was right. I felt that I was on the receiving end of something that I didn't deserve.
Sure. I think many of us have been through similar situations like that with authorities.
Yeah, it's tough because how do you respond as a Christian? And I thought I was doing pretty well. I thought that going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and Sunday nights and being able to pray all the time and communicate and even have a chance to share the gospel with others, I thought I was doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this idea that I was a pretty good guy, and many people thought, you know, hey, that's a pretty good Christian.
Sure.
But then, you know, after this guy responded in such a way that made me feel like, well, like a 16-year-old child that's just trying to grow up and has his first job. And I felt like I was being called on the carpet because I, you know, spilled something on the floor.
You know. And you'd been working there for quite some time, hadn't
you? About 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. So he was kind of like the new guy on the block, even though he was your boss. But still, you'd been there 15 years. He's brand new on the scene. And it's really tough to take what he wants to dish out.
Exactly, because I had two prior bosses before that and got along great with all of them, got along great with the members of the board. And, you know, I was moving up in the company and had a team of people working for me. And I'd go off and do some great and wonderful things for the company and got a lot of accolades. But now all of a sudden his boss comes in and he doesn't have a clue what I did, how I did it. And
you know, didn't seem to really care.
Didn't care.
Right.
So then he kind of hit me with a couple of questions, and he said he wants all things out on the table. He wants full disclosure. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I tell the truth. I follow God. I live by God's word, and I do the best I can with telling as it is.
Sure.
And he made me feel like I was just this horrible, terrible person who lied all the time.
Wow.
And it's like, well, where does this come from? You know, because I never thought of myself as a liar.
Right.
And then about the same time, you know, going to church on Saturdays, which was a great time of fellowship with the men from church. And, oh, a little bit of iron sharpening iron. And we had this opportunity to listen to what they had to say and
right.
leadership. And it was really wonderful because they asked the question, if Christ is in you, let it show. Are you doing that?
Mm.
And do people see it? So it's like, well, obviously, my boss didn't see it.
Right.
It must be his problem. So I prayed. I prayed, Lord, please relieve me of this trial because it was really bothering me. I had a hard time sleeping at night. I really didn't sleep for many nights.
Wow.
And I dreaded coming to work, which I always used to love to come to work.
Right.
And I prayed, Lord, please give me an answer. And he did. And he said, stop being selfish.
And you said, now, what chapter and verse is that in?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe he was answering somebody else's prayer.
Sure, right. Okay, let's go back to the prayer answering department and find out whose name was supposed to be on that one.
Yeah, so I thought about it and said, well, you know, let me go back a little bit further in my life. I had prayed, Lord, you know, help me to have a good relationship with you and search my heart and those things. So when I prayed, Lord, please help me in this situation. And he comes up and says, stop being selfish. It's like, well, wait a minute. That's somebody else's answer, and I'll pray again.
Right.
So the Lord had been very good and reliable about answering prayers for me very quickly. Even if I'm driving along in the road and, you know, having all of these issues with, or having a lot of traffic on the road.
Sure.
Traffic on the road really bothers me, so the Lord really answers my prayer.
Which is a selfish issue.
Yeah,
right.
Which is a selfish issue.
Because I'm the only one that's in a hurry. Nobody else is.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean,
uh-huh.
But he was always good about answering my prayer, help me get to where I need to be and get everybody out of my way.
Right, right.
So I wasn't used to this answer that he gave me. And then all of a sudden, I prayed again, and I prayed a third time, and all three times, the answer was the same. So then I went back on Saturday morning, and the same theme came about, and the same theme was, if Christ is in you, let it show. And so I did, and I tried to let Christ be seen in me, and my boss was still the same, and saying that I'm this way or that. I didn't appreciate that.
Sure.
So then what I did was I said, Lord, please help me to see who I really am. So I asked my wife.
Hmm.
If you ever want to know the truth about some of yourself, ask your wife and kids.
Sure, right.
So they were a little reluctant to tell me, but after I found out some of the things my boss was saying might have been a little true.
You know, what you're sharing, Tom, is very difficult for many of us to listen because we're probably all the same way. As long as everybody agrees with us, we get along great with them. But when they begin to question and cast doubts and insinuendos. How about insinuations and innuendos?
There you go.
But all of those things cause us to kind of doubt, where is God? Because so many times we're praying, God, get me out of the situation. Instead of, what do you want me to get out of the situation? And finally, when God began to speak to your heart that he wanted you to change, your first reaction was one of, okay, Lord, I'll pray again. Do you think that's something we all do? We want to go back to God for a different answer?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because we're looking for the answer we want.
Exactly, right.
We're not looking for the answer that is what God has for us, but the answer that we want.
So I guess God was trying to do something in your heart to help you to understand that here's a boss that he has placed in your life for his good and for your good. You were thinking only of, how's this job going to be a blessing to me, as opposed to, why has God allowed this new boss? And Brother Tom, I guess that's something we all have to ask ourselves, isn't it? Why does God allow the things that are beyond our control, especially on a daily basis? If it's something that we just run into every once in a while, we can put up with that. But a job is so daily. And God begins to say, okay, do you love me? Well, yeah. Then he says, do you love your enemies?
Well, that's true. And one verse that came to mind that I needed to really take to heart was Luke 6:35. And it says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. I was expecting things to get back. I was expecting that I'm good to him. He needs to be good back to me.
Right.
But that's not what the Lord wanted.
And so as God begins to teach you to love this boss, then God begins to teach you something about your own heart, doesn't he?
Oh, big time. Yes.
That there needs to be a change in your heart, not just your actions.
And that really, really struck me hard because I wasn't feeling good. I had high blood pressure. I had stress on the job. I wasn't getting along. And to tell you the truth, looking back, I had zero opportunities to share the gospel, zero, through that time. And then I realized that, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I need to humble myself and to be a humble servant. And I thought I was doing a great job with that, but here there's a man that I decided and determined that I was going to pray for. That was a tough decision.
And I guess the difficult part is the fact that it says humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord so that he can lift us up. And basically it's saying don't wait for God to humble us, but humble yourself, because we have no clue why he is wanting us to be humble. And God obviously was doing a special work in your heart and life I think to prepare you for the future. And as we look at our own personal situations, Tom, all of us are able to look back and say, wow, I can see now what God has been doing recently is based on what God did in the past. And the lessons I didn't learn in the past, many times I have to relearn them because he has a plan for me. And when I fail to see that plan, then I fail to become teachable. And it's hard for us, maybe the older we get, to remain teachable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was blind to many of what the ideas and scripture that the Lord wanted me to see. And it wasn't until I actually reevaluated myself and to think that I wasn't that good. Not that I thought I was really bad or that sinful, but I needed to realize that there was more important things
right.
that God wanted me to do and to focus on.
So God can use a boss who seems to be unreasonable as heavenly sandpaper to be sanding off the rough edges of our Christian life to make us look more like Jesus Christ. You think God can use children and wives?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially wives.
Heavenly sandpaper, right? Because he wants us to straighten up and fly right, as my dad used to say. And when an error was being made, it has to be straight and it has to be smooth. And so God often will use a boss or maybe someone at church or maybe someone that's next door to us that is just mean, ugly, and hard to get along with. But God will use somebody as heavenly sandpaper. And so my response is, how do I love them?
That was tough. And, you know, the Lord said, if you love him, pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to pray for him. And I really didn't mean it for a week, 2, 3 weeks later, I meant it. And I prayed for him and his success and his family. And then I learned to actually love him. And then my attitude changed.
When the attitude changes, it's a result of praying for someone.
Oh, yeah. Because no longer was I thinking about what I can do to get out of the situation, mm-hmm. but more of a servant, what can I do for him?
Right.
And whether I lost my job or not, whether I kept my job or not, I was going to be there and be a light for the Lord.
And I guess what you're telling us is that anything that is worth saving is worth investing in. And people are worth saving.
Yes.
And so God wants us to be investing in them, but it's only when we are humble and God is strong that the work is done. Well, we're running out of time, but we'll look forward to getting back together again this next time and continue your story. Until then, may God bless you in a fantastic way.